Greetings and welcome to the program. This episode begins a series of episodes that I will do on the Book of Revelation, where I will give my commentary on the Book of Revelation. Now, why am I doing this? Well, at my church, we have Old and New Testament scripture readings each Lord's Day, and we have just begun this past Lord's Day in the Book of Revelation for our New Testament scripture readings. And so I have been inspired to make an episode as we go through this each week, giving my commentary on the passage that was just read. So that is the plan. May not touch on every single passage throughout here, but a lot of it I will. So that's the plan. I also will probably, as I always do, doesn't mean I won't release any other episodes while I'm going through this. That would be a long, long time. But as I am inspired, will for other episodes, I will do that per usual. But this is something I wanted to do, so here we go. We began with the first three verses of Revelation. Now, before I read them, I will go full disclosure here for you and lay all my cards on the table and let you know that I believe something that is might be shocking. Actually, if you know me, you know this and won't be shocked by it. But yes, the Book of Revelation, I believe, was written about things that have already happened. Yes, already taken place in history. By and large, things that have already happened. And mainly that would be the time of tribulation in the years leading up to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in the year 70 AD. That is what I believe the bulk of Revelation is about. So I just say that so that you know that is the perspective I'm coming from here. And who knows, maybe I can convince some of you to see that as well, because there is a wonderful wealth of internal evidence within the text itself that would indicate such to us. And I am excited to bring those things out as we go throughout the book. There are many internal evidences within the Book of Revelation that would tell us as well that we have an early written date of Revelation, meaning pre-70, probably 66, 67 AD is when it was written. And there is some internal evidence for that date, and I will actually excitedly bring that out to you when we get to it. It'll be a little while, but we'll get to that eventually. Very exciting things. So that is the perspective I'm coming from. Hope it is educational to you and most of all persuasive to you so that I can convince you to join my side. Yes. All right. So without further ado, we begin here. Verse 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. All right. The main big important thing that you need to understand here with these first three verses are the time indicators within the text. The time indicators. Now, at any passage in the Bible that we read, it is important, vitally important, to take note of the time indicators in the text, if there are any. Because those time indicators will place the text into a certain time and place. And we don't have the authority or the exegetical grounds for taking it out of that place in which the time indicators have placed it. All right, so having said that, what are the time indicators? Well, verse 1, there's two of them in verse 1. It tells us that this revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. So this revelation that John is about to, that we're about to read here and throughout the book, are things that God gave him to show him things that must soon take place. Second time indicator in verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and keep what is written in it. Why? For the time is near. The time is near. So those are our two time indicators, soon and near, things that must soon take place, and the time for them is near. Okay. So that tells us that when John is writing this in the first century, that these things were near to them in the first century, that these things were soon to take place in the first century. That is the time in indicators that we are given and places the revelation in a certain time indicator, in a certain context. We don't have the authority to take it out of that time context. Okay? Furthermore, I would add here that this is not teaching, as some would say, an imminency doctrine. That's not what is being talked about here. Meaning that the teaching of the imminent return of Christ is the teaching that says that not just imminency, but perpetual imminency, meaning that at any moment, at any point in time, at any point in history, whether it's the first century or 2020, it is imminent that Christ would return. Okay, whether you believe that or not, is irrelevant to the first three verses of Revelation. Okay, that is not what John is saying, otherwise he would have said that. He is talking about the entire revelation he's received. He says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, the things that must soon take place. Things that must soon take place, things that the time is near to happen. Okay, soon and near are grounding us in a certain time and place in history. If John is writing this in the first century, and he's writing it to the churches there in the first century, how honest is he being if he is telling them that what he's written to them is soon and near to them? But actually, it's not going to happen for at least 2,000 years, and who knows how much longer. If that is what he means, then our meaning of words has been destroyed. I think that he actually means that these things were soon and near to them in the first century. See, we often make this mistake as modern readers of saying we read something, we automatically think it's talking directly to us. You automatically think, oh, John is telling me that in the year 2020, these things must soon take place, or that the time is near in the year 2020 for these things to take place. For me, we commit what is called narcissism, okay, where we put ourselves in the text and we make it about us. This is, of course, not to say that there is no relevance to the book of Revelation to us. That is completely false. There is as much as any passage of Scripture, absolute relevance to us today. That doesn't mean the events described in Revelation are going to happen to us today, because they've already happened. But that doesn't, just because the events have already, the prophecies have already happened, by and large, does not mean it's not relevant to us. It is absolutely relevant to us. If fulfilled prophecies in the past were not relevant to us, then that would mean the virgin birth of Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ, are not relevant to us. Of course, they are absolutely relevant to us. They are Yet they are past fulfilled prophecies. Christ came in the flesh, born of a virgin, died on the cross, and rose again, ascended on high. Those are prophecies that were made in the past. They were fulfilled in history in the past, and yet they are entirely relevant to us. And so do not think that just because I believe the vast majority of the prophecies in Revelation have already happened in the past, that somehow this book is now irrelevant to us. False. It is absolutely relevant to us. And it is, there are many, many applications for us in our lives. And most importantly, this book shows us, as it tells us, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It shows us Jesus Christ. It shows us his triumphant victory in history and many, many things about Jesus Christ. And that is always relevant to us. It draws us to worship, to confidence, to faith and hope, and all these things. So the point I was making there was that we can't place this text over ourselves and say, oh, to me, it's soon to happen and things are soon near. When John was writing in the first century, telling his actual, as we're going to read later, continuing on in the first couple of chapters, John's writing to specific churches here, historical churches telling them that these things are near and soon to take place in their time in history. Okay, and so we take him at his word, and that's what he means. Now, I feel like I'm missing some thoughts on that, but I don't want to simply belabor the point and repeat the same things I've said, so I'll move on from that point. If you have any questions on what I've said there, email me, contact me in some way, and I will do another episode answering the questions. Yes, I'll do that. Now, the second and final point I will make here on the first three verses is this. Often, modern day end times writers, modern day commentators on Revelation will talk about, they'll treat Revelation as if it's a book full of mysteries that we have to decode, and we have to, you know, decipher the true meaning, and there's hidden secret things here in the book of Revelation that we just are hidden to us. Well, that is the absolute wrong-headed approach to the book of Revelation. Why? Because what is a revelation? It is something that is revealed. It is something that is shown. You see, God gave this vision to John, this revelation to John, in order to not hide things or distort things or cover things in mystery, but in order to reveal things to him and show things to him. And so that's the mentality that we need to have as we go throughout the book of Revelation, to realize that God is showing us things here. He is revealing things to us. He's not concealing and hiding things. He is showing things to us. And so that's how we're going to treat it. We're not going to try and break out our decoding maps and all this sort of thing, but we're going to use the scripture to interpret the scripture and see what is God revealing and showing to us. Because that is the reason why scripture is profitable to us, because it shows us things, okay? And so that is the attitude, the idea we go into Revelation with, that it's showing us things, and it's showing us things that have that were soon and near to the first century audience, and thus have happened by and large, and yet are still relevant to us today, just as Christ's virgin birth, death, resurrection are all still past things that are relevant to us today. So having said that, I will go ahead and close out. That'll be all I'll say here on this. That is, and those things are important because it sets the stage and the context of everything we're going to read after this. And so we got to keep that grounding in mind. Soon and near, and a revealing of things, a showing of things. Now, if you have any questions on the text, on things I've said as we are going throughout this, don't email me about something in Revelation 20 when I'm only in chapter 1, but on pace with this, please email me. I would love to answer those questions each week as well. So feel free to do that, and I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will talk to you guys next week.